time now for the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. And now, here she is, the smart, the sexy, the savvy, Divine Miss C.
And welcome to the show. Well, I've got kind of a mixed show today, and my first guest, Al Varelli, he's from Sharpline Investigations. He's been on the show before, and I want to welcome you back, Al.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. I want to talk a little bit about a new service that you have, which is an ethics hotline. You know, we read about ethics hotlines, but first, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then let's talk about the ethics hotline.
All right. Well, Lori, as you mentioned, Al Varelli, Sharpline Investigations. Prior to this, I was in law enforcement, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. I did 6 years there. And then as I was going through the sheriff's office working, I became a certified fraud examiner. And basically that a certification that provides the knowledge and skill base to be able to investigate any incidences involving fraud within a business. So from there, we started Sharpline Investigations, and we've been in business since 2014.
Okay. Now let's talk about the ethics hotline for small to, you know, medium-sized businesses. How do you do that?
Well, the ethics hotline is an anonymous hotline that we staff with actual investigators who are trained and certified in fraud prevention, detection, and deterrence. A lot of the other hotlines that are provided to businesses are just staffed by call centers, and you're basically talking to somebody who is going to document your report and not really have knowledge behind the information that they're going to need to ask the person reporting it. So what we did is we created a ethics hotline that's staffed by Sharpline investigators. And what we'll do is we offer to businesses, small to mid-sized, because those businesses we found don't have the capital per se to afford some of the services that are out there from other ethics hotline companies. They're quite expensive, and a lot of small businesses and mid-sized businesses are on a budget, including ourselves at Sharpline. We're a small business, and we understand you know, the budget restraints within a small mid-sized business. So with that being said, we created this hotline. It's a 24/7, 365 hotline that provides the business, if they decide to join the hotline, it provides their business the ability to have their employees report incidences of unethical issues or maybe some sexual harassment issues or any type of fraud or unethical issues that happen within a business. They can report it to us, Sharpline, anonymously. So there's no fear that the business is going to ever come after them, or that maybe a manager who's best friends with an employee, there's no fear of you going to that manager, there's no fear reporting it instead of you going to that manager and thinking, you know, if I report this, he's friends with this employee, am I going to have any kind of, you know, retaliation? So we provide this service anonymously to those employees, and the business will pay for the service. It's a monthly fee. You can sign up for the service as low as $60 a month. And that's something that we provide to businesses to give their employees the ability to report these issues that would rather, you know, that they wouldn't rather report because they're, you know, maybe in fear or
Their job could be at risk. Their job,
correct.
They think, right, if something happens and I was working for a company, I might be afraid to go to a supervisor or to an owner, because then I might lose my job. That would be one thought in my head. Or if I go to a supervisor, now they're going to go back to the other person, and then I have to worry what's going to happen when I go out to my car. You know, somebody going to hurt me,
yep.
that type of situation. So it sounds like, in a way, that it allows the business owner a way of monitoring things that they might not be aware of what's going on, but do it through a company like yours where you have a trained investigator that can kind of determine what the circumstances are. And then I'm assuming that one of your investigators, do they anonymously go back to the business owner or manager and say, hey, you know, we got a complaint. What happens then?
Well, yeah, and I'll start from the beginning. Before we sign on a business to use the service, We're going to train the business employees what to look out for. So before you could even provide them with the service of reporting these unethical or fraudulent issues, you need to first educate the employees and say, hey, this is what an unethical, because a lot of people don't understand what ethics are. Ethics and morals are all different. Everything is separate. You know, there's different viewpoints of what you might think is ethical and what I might think is unethical. So what we would do is we would obtain from the business whatever their code of ethics are, and we would go to the employees and put a training. It's a free training for the employees. It's included in the service, and we're going to educate the employees and whoever else, maybe management, on the actual issues that they should be looking out for based upon their business's ethics and guidelines. So first we're going to educate them. We're going to make sure that they're educated and know what they're actually looking for. Because if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to be able to report something.
Okay.
So we educate them. Then we provide the business with the phone numbers that they can call. Their employees can call 24/7 and report such issues. Once we receive the issue or the complaint, we're going to document it. That documented report is then in turn going to be provided to somebody within that business that's going to be prearranged prior, which would be a point person that we're going to be dealing with. It could be somebody in their HR department. It could be the owner himself. Somebody who's going to be the point person in determining what they want to do with that complaint. When we receive the complaint from the employee, there's no documentation of who reported it, any phone numbers, nothing. We don't provide any of that back to the employer, because that would basically make the whole point of it being anonymous irrelevant. You see what I'm saying? We would go ahead.
No. So it kind of takes the fear out of it for the employee calling in, knowing that they're not going to know who it was.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. So the employees or the employer is then going to know that there is this complaint, the detail of the complaint, but they're not going to know who reported it, which is fine. And then the business has the ability to take that complaint, and they can look further into it. They can then utilize Sharpline Investigations to conduct an investigation within the business to find out if that complaint is actually valid or what's actually taking place within that within the business. So we can also offer that service as well.
Right. I kind of like the idea of that, because it sounds to me like it by doing this, it could stop pricey litigation for that business owner, because if they had done it outside of that and maybe the employee went to the police or a lawyer and then there are lawsuits involved because they're afraid of retaliation, it sounds like that this ethics hotline can actually solve a lot of problems, and it would be much less expensive for the owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been studies that have proven that anonymous reporting from employees has been the most successful in uncovering situations involving unethical behavior and fraudulent behavior within a business. So it does save a business a lot of money, because it gives that employee the ability to feel confident and secure in that when they report something, they're not going to be retaliated against.
Okay, can you give me some examples of some actual things without names, of course? I mean, I understand sexual harassment, but what might be unethical or illegal? I mean, I could picture the standard responses. You know, somebody came to work drunk and was bossing me around. Somebody was sexually harassing me. But what other types of situations come about?
I mean, there's numerous ones. And what we would do is we would get with a business and find out what their code of ethics is. You know, some businesses will say, hey, you know, you're not supposed to be on, say, for example, maybe Facebook while you're on the clock, you're not supposed to be on it. Is it illegal? No, it's not illegal, but is it against what the policies and procedures are for that business? Absolutely. Is it, in essence, creating a fraudulent situation? Yeah, because now that employee's on Facebook or doing something that he or she is not supposed to be doing, and what they're doing is they're getting paid during that time of not working. So they're in essence stealing money from the business. So a situation like that, those are smaller situations, but over a period of time, it can cost your business a lot of money. So those are some of the examples that, you know, could be alerted to the business if they use a hotline.
Yeah, and I have to point out, you're making me laugh here. I know a lot of people that would deserve to be fired then if they're on Facebook, because you see a lot of people employers do have rules that say you can't be on the company time and on the company computer, because we can look at anything that you do, that if that's in their code book, so to speak. But a lot of people, yeah, they'll just use their cell phones instead while they're working. So I don't know. I know a lot of people, I'd sit here, I was an employer myself in the past. And so when people are working for you, you know, they should be earning the salary and working for the company. And when they're not and they're doing their own thing, yes, in a way it is stealing, because it's taking away from the money that I'm paying you to do your job.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lori, you hit it on the head. It's actually internal theft is probably the most costly thing for a business, because like you just mentioned, it's very hard to maybe discover something like that. But, you know, would you yourself as a business owner maybe see that? No, you're probably not going to see that, because the employee is going to do it when you're not watching. But
right,
maybe around other employees, they're going to do it and think, oh, well, you know, the person next to me is not really going to, you know, say anything. So they're going to feel more comfortable doing it without the business owner being there, or the management staff. So, yeah, internal theft is a huge issue within businesses. And if you don't have any reporting mechanisms set in place to alert you of any type of issues, you could be losing tons and tons of money, and possibly putting yourself in a situation where now you're going to be legally liable for a situation such as, you know, that you're aware of.
Now, Al, does your company help a business if, for example, they don't have a company handbook or code of ethics? Is that something that you can help them with?
Absolutely, yeah, and that's something that we want to make sure we do. Fraud risk assessments, we'll go into your business, and this is not included in the service, it's additional services we offer, but we would go into your business and do a fraud risk assessment to determine what you have in place and what you don't have in place as far as internal controls. Part of those internal controls is going to be a handbook, an employee handbook, that's going to basically have in there your policies and procedures and your things that you expect your employees to abide by. So if you don't have those in place and you never made that clear to your employees, then you really don't have anything to hold against them and say, hey, well, you should have done this, you should have done that.
Right, because if you haven't preset the rules, then they think there are
Correct.
No rules and we're just going to do whatever we want. And that was one of the first things I did when I had a business where I had employees, was to come up with that company handbook and have everybody sign off that they've read a copy and that they agree to its terms. Otherwise,
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it's no rules at all. Well, I also want to talk to you about background checks, and that's something I think is important, because I'll tell you about a situation where I had a tenant. I didn't realize at the time, but the background check that the real estate agent had run did not pull all the correct information. I actually discovered a lot more myself in public records. So,
yeah.
And I want you to talk a little bit about that with background checks, because maybe what is pulled, like, for example, in terms of a credit check, it might be a light credit check, not the whole credit report. Same thing I'm thinking maybe with other types of services used. So what differentiates you when you do a background check?
And it depends. Tenant background checks are going to be totally different than the employee background checks. The tenant background checks, we're pulling the TransUnion credit file with their score. It's a full comprehensive report. You're getting the national criminal and sexual predator checks on the individual, maybe even some eviction history. It's also going to include 2 years of maybe their rental history. So you're going to see what their previous history was, and also an employee verification. So that's what our background checks pull for tenant screenings, and that's going to be totally separate than the employment check. So for your situation, it depends on where you get your tenant checks from. If you're just going online, you're only going to get, like you mentioned, just public record information, because they're only going to put on online public record information, which is great, but you also want to get the full comprehensive, you want to include the credit, all that combined, that you're not going to necessarily find on your public search.
That was my question. So in other words, what someone might pull on another person trying to do it themselves is not the same, not necessarily the same information that you as a private investigator get. Is that because you have different databases that aren't available to the public?
Correct, yes. The databases that we use, you have to be licensed, and there's other different procedures you have to follow. But yes, the what you're going to get online, and I don't know what they charge out there. There's different sites outside, on the website that will charge certain, you know, certain fees. But whatever you're buying off the internet is not going to be the same documentation that you would obtain from a actual licensed and qualified business that's doing a background check for you.
Okay, what are some instances where background checks are needed? I mean, I think obviously tenants is one, but where, you know, would an employer, a potential employer, do a background check? I know they have to tell that person that they're doing that and they're pulling their credit, but what are some of the circumstances where you have background checks done?
I mean, it could be many, many different reasons. If you have a business that you're dealing with children, if you're a non-for-profit and you're like a volunteer and you're dealing with kids, or and that's just on the children level, you want to know and make sure that that person hasn't been arrested or convicted for sexual predator crimes or any misdemeanors or felonies, and now they're around children. So you want to make sure that you're doing those background checks in those instances. If you're a business and you have goods that you're selling, you don't want that person, if they have many theft arrests and convictions, to be handling your product, because now you're putting yourself in a situation where you already know that person's behavior, and now you're given the ability to steal again for you. Not necessarily that they're going to do it, but like they say, history repeats itself.
Well, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to ask you a question. What happens if an employer has an employee that they didn't initially run a background check on, but now they suspect maybe the employee is stealing? Can they just go ahead without that person's consent and run a background check if they suspect something?
No, and that's something that you would want to have. If you have a handbook in the beginning and they sign documentation that, hey, we're going to run, you know, quarterly background checks, we're going to run biannual background checks, then at that point in time, they've already signed the release form. They're allowing you, and they're already aware of the fact that you're going to be running a background check on them. So you always want to make sure that your employee is aware that you're running a background check on them. But that paper that they're signing for you to complete the background check is for that background check at that point in time. So that's why it's always good also to go back to what we were talking about, is have handbooks and policies, procedures, and have your employee understand what they're subject to, and then also have them sign it so they're aware. And then when you have to, you know, complete a background check, they've already signed it, they've already documented that they're aware of it, and they've already agreed to it.
Right, and they can't come back and say, oh, I never did that, or I didn't sign that, or I wasn't aware.
Correct.
Yeah, it's kind of tying them in. All right, now I know your background is fraud, so why don't you talk a little bit about Sharpline Investigations? You know, everybody wants to be a PI. You watch it on TV. I know it looks really fascinating there. What's it like to be a private investigator?
It's very interesting. There's never two cases that are the same. I mean, we have cases ranging from the most simplistic case, you know, maybe do a quick search and we find the information, all the way to getting through numerous files and really, you know, trying to put the puzzles and the pieces together. Those are going to be your more time-consuming, more tedious type of work. We recently just had a case like that, and we actually just got done finishing it, and despite what the person thought, it was actually contrary. The two people actually just had the same exact names. So it was going through hundreds of records basically to match those records to the right person. And in the end, we found out that what the person initially thought, the client initially thought, was not true because it was in the other person who had the same name. So certain cases are going to be a little more tedious. A lot of what you see on TV as far as the glam, some of it is very small bits of it are like that. Because we somehow get into certain areas where it takes a little bit of finesse, and it kind of gives you the that sex appeal of being secretive and having to sneak around and get in different locations. But not all of our job is like that. There's a lot of time where you'll sit in a vehicle and you'll be doing surveillance, and you'll be there for 8 hours with nothing going on, and it's just. It's just draining you because you're trying to stay focused with your eyes, but you're getting tired because you're not moving. So
right.
It's a very tough job sometimes. Sometimes it's it's a very easy job, but all in all, it's an extremely rewarding job. You know, we're able to help individuals, businesses, and attorneys, and get them the actual results that they're looking for. So on a business level, we can save businesses tons of money. You know, we help them secure their business so they're not susceptible to fraud or maybe any other type of situations where they'll, you know, they have proprietary information and now it's gone because they, you know, they're an employee has left and they took that information with them despite what, you know, what the person had signed when they initially got employed. So it's a very rewarding job, and it's just really no 2 days are ever the same. So
yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting, and you get a lot of different cases. I'm sure you have cases like the cheating spouse cases.
Yep.
You know, do you do like corporate fraud at all?
We do. We do have some cases that are similar to that, and it's just it's amazing what type of cases we'll get. One case specifically, it was basically we had to go undercover into a business and ensure that. It was a franchise, and the owner of the franchisee basically said, you know, I need to know where this money is going. It's coming in, but we're not seeing it, but the business keeps losing money. So we had to go in undercover, conduct the purchase, and had to basically file the money to make sure that it got back to where it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, we found out that it wasn't theft, it wasn't fraud. It was just that the person did not know how to run the business, and they were losing money in that regard because they weren't following the policies and procedures in order to effectively run that business.
Right, so, more of an incompetence issue.
Exactly. But it was good for them. It was good for them to realize that because if they had done nothing and they just let it go, that's money that's lost, and you're not finding out what the actual issue is and putting a resolution to it.
Right. God, I like it. You're really sharp, and that's why you're Sharpline Investigations. So, you know, I'll give out your contact information.
Yeah, you can reach us on our website at www.sharplineinvestigations.com, or you can give us a call at 855-394-0042.
Great.
Again, it's 8.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll just repeat it one more time. It's 855-394-0042.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me, Al. We'll have you back again on a future show, and hope everything's working out great for you.
Awesome. It's a pleasure. Thanks again.
Thanks, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664, and get on track to better health.
Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure.
welcome back to the world of Lori Zook. You're going to meet one of my friends today. His name is M.L. Harris, and M.L. has been on the show before. M.L. is an author, and he's written lots of books. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Lori. Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I want you to talk about some of the books. I know we've discussed some in the past, but you've authored a lot of books. A lot.
Well, I guess that's a relative term, but I've written 11 novels. I'm working on number 12 now. I'm about two-thirds of the way through that. And I've written two nonfiction self-help books. So, but I consider myself more of a novelist than anything.
All right, well, then let's do it in reverse. Let's start with the dating books.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I've written two books, dating books, one for men and one for women. The one for men is called How to Meet, Date, and Marry a Great Woman, Understanding Women. And the one for women is called Understanding Men, What Women Need to Know.
All right, why don't you talk about some of your tips in those books?
Well, for men, it's... we're clueless.
I can say that too.
You know, men are, George Carlin said, women are crazy, men are stupid. The reason why women are crazy is because men are stupid. And we're stupid in the area of women. And one of my coaching clients that I coach, because I coach dating, and she said, well, certainly you're not one of those stupid men you're talking about. And I said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, see, yep. And I think you're a class act.
Well, you know, the thing is that with men, and I tell women this, it's like going to be a lifetime process. If they get in a relationship, they're going to always have to train us men. You know, and I associate it even in the book with we're like puppy dogs. You know, we love praise, we love rewards. We don't really like punishment, but we respond to punishment very well. So when we're good, we need a cookie, a doggy cookie, a pat on the head. You know, we need praise and lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, my God, you're just amazing and things like that. And then when we're bad, we need to be punished. And so I teach women in the book on the appropriate way to praise and the appropriate way to punish. And I also teach them the most important thing when they're dating is how to vet, V-E-T, vetting men properly on a date.
Now, I have to laugh about that because you don't know that my last guest was Al Varelli from Sharpline Investigations, and we were talking about background checks, you know, on people. And so when somebody meets, man or woman meets somebody new for the first time, I think it should always be in a public place with limited information just to see if you click and have chemistry. But let's say you do. How do you vet that person out to make sure they're not some crazy lunatic?
Well, first of all, I recommend that they meet in a public place like Starbucks. Starbucks, I could probably do commercials for them. Okay. I own no stock in the company. But there are so many around, and they're usually located in a safe place, you know, so women should go in and meet them there and have three coffee dates before they go any further. And then I encourage them too, especially if they have children living at home, to even hire a private investigator and vet them more thoroughly and even ask them if they have any problem with that. And if a guy says, yeah, I really have a problem with that, it's violating my privacy, then I suggest that they say, well, thank you very much. It's been nice meeting you.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree, because listen, I mean, I'm lucky. I'm in a great relationship with a great guy. But I can tell you, if I, God forbid, ever were single again, I would want their resume or their CV. I'd want a credit check. I'd want a background check. I'd be going into the public records to see what information could I find, or do the private investigator route. Because nowadays, I mean, there are so many stories of people that deceive, and it's men and women, people that deceive others. You know, a lot of times it's to get their money, if they know they have money and things like that. So, you know, whereas 20 years ago I might not have had the same feelings about it, nowadays I think very differently because I've heard so many horrible stories, you know.
And one of the I list seven different types of men for the women, and one of the types is the con artist. And they're so believable that they even believe their own lies. And it's very difficult to really determine who the con artist is. And it takes a lot more vetting to determine a con artist. By the way, I even suggest in the book that they're vetted for STDs. and I give them a resource for having, you know, at-home STD testing done.
Right, that's a good idea. All right, now let's talk about some of your other books. I've read some, but why don't we go over some of those books?
Okay, well, the first novel that I wrote was The Angel and the Therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it's a pretty long book. It's 530 pages.
Yeah, I read it in about 3 days, yep.
You read it quickly. Yes, you did.
Well, you got sucked in if it's a good book, so.
Well, thank you, and that's really a high compliment because that's what I like to do is get people in the story, and if they can become proactive in the reading, like they're in the room and they're a voyeur and they're watching what's going on. And so that's a story about a man. It opens, he's 53 years old, and he was a rascal most of his life, and then it opens where he's in this office of a female sexologist, psychiatrist, and he's there because he claims to have a sex addiction, which we find out later that may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes on to show a portion of his life to explain, and an angel appears to show her 8 months of his life that turned him into who he is and why he has the problems he has. So the angel really helps her in the therapy of that man, and that's kind of an interesting book.
Okay, but then that led into another book.
Yeah, the second book is called Searching for Gianna, and it's about a 17-year-old going on 40 young lady who's ready to graduate high school, and she's on a quest to find her biological father. Her mother won't tell her anything about her biological father, and she found a poem that he wrote her. And so she's just determined to find him, and that's a saga on her search for him, and in so doing, finds out a lot about herself.
Right. We don't want to give away the ending, because I remember the ending to that book was really good. But then that led into the next book.
Okay, so the next book I started to write just as another novel called The Demons Living Among Us. And when I got to the end of the book, I just felt like it wasn't finished because I hadn't developed enough of a story about one of the main characters, which was Veronica, the teenage granddaughter of the main character father or grandfather. So I decided to make that into a series, and it ended up having a 4-volume series of Demons Living Among Us. So there are 4 volumes to that.
Right. Those books were excellent. I mean, when I read those books, I couldn't put them down, which you know, for me, I'm an avid reader, so it has to be
thank you,
a really interesting book for me to get through it like that. But then you subsequently wrote a few more books.
Well, what happened was I got an idea about a young man who got in trouble with the law at an early age, and so I called this one I Have the Solution, and I intended to write make a series of that. So there's another 4-volume series of I Have the Solution about this young man. He gets in trouble and kind of a saga about what happens to him. He gets put in prison, and I'm not going to give away too. There are a lot of good characters in each volume. I try to introduce new characters into each volume so that it adds intrigue and interest to the story.
So I have to
Then after that, I got an idea to write a book called The Lost Gospel of Jeremiah, and it's about a man back in the day of Christ who I just thought that the story, you know, we have the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I just felt like that the story needed to be told just from a normal, everyday person who's living during that time from their perspective, and I just finished that. All of these books are available and out there on the market.
All right, now what's coming up? What books are coming up?
Okay, I got a real crush on this gal. She's 31 years old, single mom. She's from Ulster, Ireland, and a town called Derry. It's actually Londonderry, and she calls it Derry in her Irish brogue. And I have a story about her living over here. She escaped to America to escape from her IRA baby daddy. And it's kind of, I don't want to give away much about it, but it's going to be more of an action-packed intrigue type of a story about baby daddy and some of the problems. He's trying to get his daughter back and so on and so forth. I'm about 2/3 through that.
Now, you're spitting out these books pretty quickly, so you must be writing a lot every day.
Well, you know, Laurie, I'm not going to say I'm a motivated writer. I just love writing. And I get lost in the stories when I'm writing them, and I get attached to the characters, and I kind of wind these characters up, create a character, and I spend a lot of time developing the character. Once I feel like that character's fully developed, I kind of get in a schizophrenic mode of winding them up and letting them go.
Very interesting.
And that's where I get the good stuff.
So do you have some type of an outline for the characters in the story before you start, or is it just right as you go and see where it goes?
Well, that's a great question. I took creative writing in college, but I must say, even though I encourage people to use an outline if they want, I've never used one. I do it chapter by chapter, and what I do is I write down ideas on a 3x5 card and tape it up. And then I also write down the names of people and the places of people, and I create a file folder and put everything in there. So if I'm 15 chapters further down the road and I go, what was that guy's name in that one restaurant? And then I just open my file folder up, find the 3x5 card, and I go, okay, his name was Rochester. Got it.
Gotcha.
You know, and I kind of work chapter to chapter, just like I'm reading a book chapter at a time. I write a chapter at a time.
Yeah, you're terrific. I want to thank you so much for joining me. If people want to order your books, where do they go?
Well, they can go to any bookstore on demand and order it. They're not going to carry them in the bookstore, but they can say M.L. Harris author and look me up, and they'll order any of the books, or they can go to Amazon.com and order them, and if they want, they can have them in 2 days.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining me. You know I'll always have you back on a future show. Great speaking with you, M.L.
You're awesome. I had a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you. And we'll be back from the commercial break in just a moment.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more. Call Central Payments James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payments James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664. And get on track to better health.
And welcome back to the world of Lori Zook. Now, my last guest, also a friend of mine, Stephanie Stevens. She's from Legal Shield, which I think is a great service. But I want Stephanie to talk a little bit about it. You know, lawyers charge a small fortune, sometimes up to $500 an hour, and people find themselves in bad situations and they can't afford an attorney. So first, just tell me, how does Legal Shield work?
Well, basically, well, thank you very much, Laurie, first of all. Thank you for having me speak to you and speak to your listeners. Legal Shield was founded over 40 years ago, so it's an established company, and the main thrust of the company is to, as you say, to help those who have a legal issue but are really priced out of the attorney system. And for a low monthly fee, they can have access to a lawyer for advice on unlimited issues and not have to worry about the hourly costs of calling a lawyer to have that advice. They can have documentation reviewed, which is included in the cost of the membership as well. And it, like I say, it's peace of mind because they don't have to worry about being billed at the end of it for thousands of dollars.
All right, now how much does Legal Shield cost, and who's covered?
Okay, well, there's various levels of membership that you can have, and the idea is that it's a monthly membership. It's month to month. And the just to have the legal plan, which gives you the legal side of Legal Shield, is $17 a month, and that covers the member, the member's spouse, and up to 10 children. So if there's a large family, there's not separate bills for each person that wants the advice. Now, we also cover identity theft. We have an identity theft protection plan, and if you have that together as well, for a single person, it's an additional $10 a month. And for a family, it's $20 a month, and the family, again, can be up to 8 children.
I got you. Now, identity theft is important. You know I'm a credit consultant, so
yeah.
I have to deal a lot of times with people who have identity theft situations, and you know, everybody says, it's not going to happen to me, and then I get 20 million phone calls, you know, not just clients, but family and friends saying, oh my God, look, you know, this happened or whatever happened, and it can happen to you. I mean, a lot of major companies, their websites have been breached, you know, confidential information has been given out. Once it's given out and you're a victim of identity theft, it's an ongoing battle for a very long time. So how does Legal Shield help somebody if they're a victim of identity theft? What do they do?
Okay, well, as you said, identity theft right now is the number one growing consumer concern, and it's a very high rate in Florida and Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay area is a particularly high hit also. Now, the difference between Legal Shield and some of the other companies out there that offer services is that the ID Shield, part of Legal Shield, offers a full restoration service, so that if somebody is a victim of identity theft, a lot of times other companies will say, well, here you are, here's the paperwork, fill that in, go and make that phone call, and that's what you have to do, and then you spend, it's time consuming, there's a lot of time contacting
right.
different agencies to try and cancel cards and to have the social security numbers protected or at least monitored. But with the services we offer, we have an investigation. We use the services of Kroll, which is a leading Fortune 500 investigation team. And they will have an officer assigned to that person from beginning to end until such time as their identity and everything is restored back to the point of before the theft took place. So the difference really is the main feature is the full restoration service that's offered. And it's not just, well, here you are, go and fill in that form, go and make all these phone calls, and we'll see what happens. It's an ongoing and step-by-step assistance with everything that's involved with having your identity stolen. And like you say, people think, oh, it never happened to me, or, oh, I don't care if my identity gets stolen. My credit score's not very good. But credit card theft only accounts for 17% of identity theft. Because when you think about it, you were not born with a credit card. You were born with your name, your date of birth, and invariably, soon after you're born, a lot of people register their children so they have their social security number right from an early stage. And those are the basic things that make up your identity.
Right.
And that's what people are stealing, to be able to assume your identity to carry out their criminal activities. So not only does that mean that things are happening and it, you know, it's that person's name and information that's been put into systems, people have found themselves on sex offenders registers when they are not the culprits, and the culprits are actually going free because somebody else's information is being used. So when police do and authorities do catch up, supposedly with the person, they're actually catching up with the actual person who's had their identity stolen, and they're the ones that are going to get into trouble. So again, it's about you know, putting right your good name and your integrity, and
right, and also,
and there again, if you have an identity theft issue, invariably you have a legal issue as well. That's why we recommend that the two of them kind of go hand in hand, because you've got one to offset the other also.
Right. One of the things I want to point out is it can take hundreds of hours if you're a victim of identity theft. And that's not, you know, on top of that, you've got the stress of dealing with the situation, because once somebody has your information, they can go out and buy a house in your name. I've seen these kinds of cases. They can go out, not just with the credit cards, but now they usually have enough information to access your cash accounts. And people don't realize that. So you're always, you know, worrying what's going to happen. And so do you want to spend hundreds of hours trying to deal with a situation when you could actually have a professional, which is always the better option? Because most people think that they know how to do it or they'll just Google it. That's my favorite thing. People think they can Google something and it's going to give them all the answers. But if you don't have the answers from the correct sources, then a lot of times it's really just misinformation. Now, what about kids? Do kids need Legal Shield?
Okay, yes, they benefit greatly. I mean, we've had a lot of cases recently where people have been contacting because their child's information has either ended up in the wrong place or has been used again to get credit. The criminals nowadays, they're targeting the very young and the very old. So if you're under 18, you know, you don't usually apply for credit because you can't sign for your own credit until you're 18. So the criminals have that 18-year window to do what they will with that social security number or the information that they have, and that's what's been happened. And unfortunately, what happens is they have access to the information, the personal information. They don't always use it instantly, so they might wait 2, 3, even maybe 4 or 5 years. And then when they use it, the person will have forgotten or disregarded the fact that it was taken and been complacent because they think, oh, it's not been used, so I'm okay. And then when they least expect it, then the criminals, that's when they're using the information. And sometimes, like I say, it's those who are under 18, they have their information. People who have deceased, people who have passed away, they have access to their information and start opening credit lines in their name. And then the elderly, the more vulnerable people in the society, then they start using their information because they don't understand maybe or for whatever reason they can't intercede for themselves. So that's what's happening right now. So it's never too young and it's never too late to get protected from identity theft.
Right, and there are black market underground companies that actually sell the social security numbers of deceased people or, you know, young kids or people who haven't been even born yet, and they get that information and they sell it specifically for those reasons you just mentioned, to use them for someone
That's
else.
Correct, yeah.
You know, now, if somebody, do you have to be signed up for Legal Shield before something happens, or can you sign up when something happens?
My philosophy for life in general and for everything is prevention is better than cure. Now, with the Legal Shield plan for the legal advice, it can be, in some cases, retrospective. So if you have a document that it could be a year old, 5 years old, and there's just something that came up, an issue that came up with it, and you wanted that document reviewed, well, you could send that document up for review, and they could tell you or advise you in respect to that document. With the identity theft, it's always better, and the minimum fee or the monthly plan is for I guess things that happen in the future. So if you get the idea is to get the plan today to prevent something from happening tomorrow.
Right. Now, so you don't have to
get the plan today to protect yourself in the event something may happen tomorrow. If you've already been hit with identity theft and somebody is using your identity and you've discovered it, Legal Shield can still help, or the ID Shield can still help, but there may be an additional fee on top of that. So if you haven't been hit, and most people, unfortunately, it's sad to say that most people can look at it like an inevitable thing, take out a plan today. Don't wait until something happens before you do it.
Yeah, I think
you are prepared and take out a plan today in the event something might happen tomorrow, because you will be covered. If you have the plan today, you're going to be covered tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point, because most people wait to the last minute. So, yeah, you want to be prepared in advance. Well, Stephanie, it's been great having you on the show. If somebody wants to contact you, how can they reach you?
Okay, well, my website is www.stephaniedawsonenterprises.com. My email address is Stephanie, Stephanie, 2911@hotmail.com, or by telephone on 813 322 3892.
Great. I want to thank you so much. You've given out such good information. I think Legal Shield does a great job for people. Prevention is what you should be looking for, not the after the fact when you're already in trouble. So thank you very much, Stephanie, for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. And we'll be back next week on The World of Lori Zook.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332. 332.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664. And get on track to better health.
Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure.